today, one out of every four Christian adults believes Jesus could return in their lifetime. The book of Revelation is God's message to all of us who are concerned about the future. It contains Jesus Christ's last words to the church on such important doctrines as the rapture, the second coming, the final judgment, and reveals what will ultimately happen to Satan, to the Antichrist, and to those who follow false religion. Jesus warns of the terrible future events that will take place on earth during the tribulation, the Battle of Armageddon, and his second coming to earth. In this book, he tells about the millennium, the final judgment of every person who has ever lived, and what God has planned for his people in eternity future. Today, we will take you step by step through the book of Revelation in a clear and concise manner to help you understand its message and the future events God predicts are up ahead. We invite you to join us for this special edition of the John Ankerberg Show. Welcome. Today we're going to talk about the Battle of Armageddon. We're going to talk about the Millennial Kingdom and the Great White Throne Judgment and eternity future, what the book of Revelation is saying. We have got someone that you've got to hear. His name is Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. He's a journalist, actually, in Jerusalem, who's covered events there since 1993. He knows every prime minister of Israel that has been in power since that time. He's interviewed each one of them. He knows other leaders in the Middle East. And he's also a great Bible prophecy scholar. He knows the Bible backwards and forwards, which you'll see in a moment. What we're trying to do is take you step by step through the book of Revelation in a way that you can understand it. I don't want you to be scared about this book. God's given us great information. There's a purpose for it being in the Bible, and Jimmy is telling us what that is. Jimmy, you got three pillars here, three identification marks that are going to help us identify what's going on in the timeline through the book of Revelation and what these events signify. Start us off.
Well, you talked about the three main events, the rapture, the return of Christ, and the retribution, the great white throne judgment. We have these three pillars here that represent those three main events that happen in the book of Revelation. The rapture, chapter 4, verse 1, and then 4, verse 2 through 19:10, 16 chapters, detailed information about the seven-year tribulation period. This pillar represents the return of Christ to the earth. That's chapter 19 of Revelation, verses 11 and following. And then in chapter 20, we see the number 1,000 years. That's talking about the millennial kingdom. Jesus Christ will rule and reign during that 1,000-year period of time, but also Satan will be bound, so there will be peace upon the earth. This last pillar, the third of the three pillars, represents the third of the three main events of the book of Revelation, the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, and after that, eternity future, new heavens, new earth, and new Jerusalem.
All right, now, we've gone through the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl or vial judgments, and at the last part, there's an interesting verse that comes in Revelation 16, 12 through 16, where it says, Satan persuades kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty, and they gather them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Now, in real terms that we can understand, what is this gathering of the armies of the world? Could it happen soon?
It could indeed happen soon. And let me tell you why I make that definite statement. Because in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the backdrop would be the focus on Babylon. That's modern-day Iraq. That will be the international headquarters of a one-world economic, political, governmental system that will be headed up by Antichrist. This will be leading up to when the armies gather together. The portion of Scripture that you mentioned just a moment ago is a parenthetical phrase between the sixth vial judgment, when the nations of the Far East gather into Jerusalem, which would be the gathering of the nations together. But just prior to that, this location on the Euphrates River, the literal city of Babylon, which dates back 4,500 years ago, when Nimrod, the great grandson of Noah, brought into existence a one-world economic, political, governmental system, a prototype which will be unfolded here in this last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Chapter 16, verses 17 and following, gives us the record of that final vial judgment, number 21 of 21 judgments unfolded upon the earth. And it is the destruction of the literal city of Babylon, which is where the Antichrist has been headquartered. Then the armies of the world will gather at Jerusalem. The campaign of Armageddon is better terminology than the battle of Armageddon. Let's say that there were only 100 nations there. I think the United Nations says there's something like 197 nations. Let's say that those 100 nations had 1 million soldiers apiece. We're talking about 100 million soldiers that will gather at Jerusalem. As he steps back on the Mount of Olives, Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4, the Mount of Olives splits, making way for the nations of the world to go to the Valley of the Mountains. Now, that's a terminology describing the Jezreel Valley. You have Mount Carmel, you have Mount Moriah, you have Mount Tabor, you have Mount Gilboa, you have all of the mountains there that surround this 1,000-square-mile valley where the Battle of Armageddon takes place. By the way, that would leave plenty of room for 100 million soldiers to go there and take on Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus will build a temple when he gets back. He's going to rule and reign from a millennial temple, so he builds that first. That's Ezekiel chapters 40 to 46. And then he goes to the Jezreel Valley. He speaks and they die. I don't know what he's going to say. Maybe it's just die. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, that when the Battle of Armageddon takes place, blood flows out of the horses and those men that are in that battle, and it flows as high as a horse's bridle for 176 miles. If you have 100 million soldiers, and that's just an example, there's no text that says that, but that's a very conservative example, I believe, that when you have those men up there, that's 600 million quarts of blood. That would be about 50 quarts of blood for every foot for 176 miles. Interestingly, the 176 miles reaches from the Jezreel Valley, the Battle of Armageddon, and that's how far it is to Petra, which I believe is the place, chapter 12, verse 6 of Revelation, that God has prepared to protect his people. He goes there, he gathers them in, he brings them across that Jordan Valley, he brings them up the backside of the Mount of Olives, across the Kidron Valley, through the Eastern Gate, and into the temple complex. And those Jews, according to Zechariah 13:9, turn to him as their Lord and Savior. He walks into the temple, he sits down and becomes King of Kings and Lord of Lords there in the Holy of Holies on that day, Yom Kippur, in the future.
All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the fact Jesus Christ comes back to earth and he sets up his millennial kingdom. What takes place in the millennial kingdom? What does Jesus Christ do on earth? What changes and where does that go? And how does that get us into the great white throne judgment and eternity future? Stick with us. We'll talk about that when we come right back. All right, we're back, and we're taking you through the book of Revelation, step by step. And Jimmy, again, review where we've been at, and we're coming right back to the return of Jesus Christ to earth and then the setting up of his millennial kingdom. What's he going to do during that millennial kingdom? But again, review where we're at here.
Well, we're talking about the three main events represented by these pillars: the rapture of the church, the seven-year tribulation period, the return of Christ to the earth, the thousand-year millennial kingdom, the great white throne judgment, and then the eternity future.
All right, you've brought us right to the Battle of Armageddon, and now Jesus Christ comes back and he conquers, and he now has returned to earth. And what happens then?
When he comes back to the earth, he builds his temple. Ezekiel 40 to 46 is 202 verses, detailed information about Messiah's temple. There was a tabernacle during the wanderings in the wilderness, and there were two temples previous on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. Neither the tabernacle nor the two previous temples meet the requirements of Ezekiel 40 to 46 in the description of Messiah's temple. Jesus, Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12, builds this temple. Verse 13 of Zechariah 6, he will rule and reign from this temple. This is during the millennial kingdom. God promised the Jewish people He would give them a king, and the kingdom would be set up under the leadership of this king. He offered it when Jesus Christ came the first time, but the Jewish people rejected Jesus Christ. Now the kingdom will be literal on the earth. Many people talk about a kingdom now that we're living in. We're not living in a kingdom. Jesus Christ is not now on his throne. He's at the right hand of the Father. The book of Hebrews, chapters 1, 8, and 12 says Jesus Christ is interceding for us believers at the right hand of the Father in the heavens. But one day, seemingly in the near future, after the Battle of Armageddon is taking place, Jesus Christ will receive from his Father the kingdom, and he will rule and reign during this thousand-year period of time. John, it'll be a time of peace. The lion will lie down with the lamb. There's so many other things we could talk about if we only knew. And the reason I say we don't know is the Bible doesn't say much about the kingdom period. It says that there will be people who will come out of the tribulation period in physical bodies, Jews and Gentiles who become believers. They're not martyred. They will enter into the millennial kingdom.
All right, and let's talk about that. Going back to the time when Christ comes back, before you go into that millennial kingdom, people want to know what does happen to the Antichrist, the false beast, and to Satan. What happens when Christ comes back?
At the Battle of Armageddon, when that battle is completed, chapter 19 of Revelation, Antichrist and false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. They will be there during that thousand-year period of time. Jesus Christ will delegate an angel to come and take Satan to bind him and cast him into the bottomless pit where he will be for that thousand-year period of time. And this will be so that the Lord can set up his millennial kingdom. It will be a dictatorship, a theocracy. Nobody will have rights during that period of time. We will all be serving him, which is his plan. And you and I who know Christ as Lord and Savior as his bride will rule and reign with Christ during that time.
And I think it's very important what you just said. The fact is there's some people that are going to go into the millennial kingdom that will be believers. But the fact is at the beginning part of the tribulation, all the believers on earth are raptured out of here. So those are people that get saved either under the two witnesses, the 144,000,
yes,
and that make it through the slaughter of the Antichrist going up into the return of Jesus Christ. And those people who have not been changed, like we have been changed, we're
right
in heaven, we've been changed, we've been given new bodies, you can't marry or given marriage. The fact is those people go into the millennial kingdom and they have physical bodies and they have children, and now those children grow up, and the fact is along the way God's going to give them a chance to choose as well.
Exactly. And the reason, for example, when we read in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10, where Satan is loosed for a season, is to go and ferret out those who were simply professors and not true possessors of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But at the end of that thousand years, when Satan is loosed, he will ferret them out, gather them at Jerusalem for one final battle against Jesus Christ. In essence, it's not going to be a real battle. Jesus Christ is going to smash Satan, and he's going to cast him into the lake of fire where the Bible says the Antichrist and the false prophet are. That will then lead up to the Great White Throne Judgment.
And what happens at the Great White Throne Judgment? Again, who is there? Who gets judged? Where does the information come from? And what happens to him?
Jesus Christ will be the judge. John chapter 5, verse 22, God gives Jesus Christ responsibility. He will be the judge at the Great White Throne Judgment. Those to be judged will be those of all of time who rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They will have been held in a holding pen in Hades, a location of torment, and they will all be brought to the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, where's the Great White Throne? We do not actually know. It says, the heaven and the earth fled away, and I saw a great white throne. Wherever it is, Jesus Christ will be the judge. Those who've rejected him will be the ones who will be judged. He will open two sets of books. There's a book, which is the book of life, and books, plural. The book, if their name is not written in the book of life, they will be cast into the lake of fire forever. Those books, they will be judged according to the works they have done, the evil works, and there will be degrees of punishment at the Great White Throne Judgment. And all of those who have rejected him will be cast alive into the lake of fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I'm quoting what Jesus Christ said, not my opinion, what Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 9. This is a terrible time of judgment. It's what they refer to as the second death, those who have rejected Jesus Christ. It should motivate me and you and all of us, John, for those loved ones that we have who do not know Christ, to warn them of the judgment to come, of this great white throne judgment. The only people that will be standing here are those who are lost, and they stand there of their own free will, not because God has caused them to do anything. A terrible time of judgment. And by the way, this is the end of history. In Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created. That started history. This brings an end to history, and we move into eternity future.
Talk about the new heavens and the new earth.
The new heavens and the new earth. That's going to be thrilling. The book of Isaiah, chapters 65 and 66, refer to the new heavens and the new earth. So this is not new to the book of Revelation, but chapter 21 says, and in 2 Peter chapter 3, this old earth, this sin-cursed earth, the sin-cursed heavens. And that includes the first, second, and third heaven. Third heaven is where God is. But remember, chapter 12, verse 10 of the book of Revelation says that Satan day and night would go into the throne of God and accuse the brethren, accuse you and me for things we had done wrong. Of course, Jesus Christ was there to intercede for us. But that means the third heaven was cursed. It has to be burned up. And God will create, not refurbish, but create a new heaven and a new earth. And there we will then see the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem is described in chapters 21 and 22. We could take five more programs to talk about the new Jerusalem. It's going to be an amazing place. It's 1,500 miles high, wide, and long. It has one street of gold. People talk about streets of gold. There's no such thing as streets of gold. In chapter 21, it says there will be a street of gold. In chapter 22, a street of gold. That's because we all live on Main Street when we get to the New Jerusalem. It won't be on earth because of the fact the Bible says in Ezekiel, his temple will be in Jerusalem forever. In chapter 21, verse 22 of Revelation, it says there will be no temple in the New Jerusalem because God and Jesus are there. 12 pearly gates, 3 in the north, 3 in the east, 3 in the west, 3 in the south. Names of the tribes of Israel, the Jews, will be able to come from earth to enter into the New Jerusalem. It'll be hovering someplace above the earth, and we'll be there with Jesus Christ forever and ever. I wish I could go on. This is a beautiful description of what's going to happen in the future. And by the way, we're going to serve him during that time. We're going to worship him. We're going to fellowship with the saints of all of time. Jesus, as he concluded the book of Revelation through the angel to John the Revelator, said, "Behold, I come quickly, and blessed is he that keep the words of this book." And then he said again, "Behold, I come quickly, and I have my reward with me," to give us reward so we will know what we will do for eternity. It's the rewards that we receive way back there at the judgment seat of Christ that set in motion what we're going to do forever and ever and ever as we serve him, as we worship him, and as we fellowship with him. And the last thing, I got to tell you this, yep, one more. Behold, there was three of them. John the Revelator said, as Jesus said one third time, "Behold, I come quickly, even so come, Lord Jesus."
Jimmy, that was absolutely fantastic. And folks, this has been the walk through the book of Revelation so that you would catch the key things that are presented by God to us that we need to know about the future. Now, as Jimmy was walking through the book of Revelation, we did it so fast. There are some things, questions that I'm sure that you've got, that you've raised in your mind as you've listened to what he's been saying. We're going to catch those questions in the next half hour. So I hope that you'll join us. We'll ask him to talk a little bit further about some of these key questions that have arisen out of this information. I hope that you'll join us next week.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of the John Ankerberg Show. For more information, please contact us at 1-800-805-3030 or go online at johnankerberg.org right now.